Yeah, I think that's
what... Did you find
your like, I said, mail. Email. Yeah. This thing? No, no, no. We're both. You guys are both talking to me. I've got this. But then... Hi everyone, I want to welcome you on this Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. I want to say thanks to all who helped to make our first Food on the Fly a major success. We sold out all 50 meals, and we look forward to selling hopefully even more next month. And thank you for everyone who has invested in that ministry. On Saturday, May 18th, please remember we have our Beat the Church workshop at Sharon Moravian at 9 a.m. From 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. As most of you know, Pastor Ben will be out of the office. He's on vacation this week. If you have any pastoral care concerns this week, please be in touch with one of our elders. Also, our cares and prayers will not meet this Tuesday, but next Tuesday they will resume when Pastor Ben returns. Does anyone else have any announcements for us this morning?
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. On behalf of my Sunday school class, we've put together a flower arrangement for all of the mothers. And please take one after worship if you'd like. And if they also come with one of these beautiful little assorted garden stakes, if you'd like to have one of those. They're much too tall right now to, well, I lied. They do fit in there. If you would like to have one of those as well, please select which one you would like. And if you don't want any, that's your choice.
Thank you very much.
And if there aren't enough, I have more downstairs I can make it. Maybe.
Okay. Anyone else? Can please stand and we can greet one another. Please join me in the watchword for the week. Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb. And have a seat, and we will enjoy the prelude.
Please stand as we join in the call to worship. In the same way a mother looks after her child, the Holy Spirit looks after the church.
May we all know the unconditional love of God that cares for us every single day.
How does God treat his heavenly children?
The Holy Spirit looks upon us with a heart full of compassion and grace for all children of God.
Let's join in singing the hymn, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus, which is number 373 in our book of worship. Remain standing as we turn to our Liturgy for Christian Homes, found on page 119 in the front of our Book of Worship. Eternal God, creator of our first home and our only true rest, we gather as your family to celebrate our diverse homes and to seek your blessings on them. God of relationships, you have put them within our hearts, a longing that only you can satisfy. Yet we need each other to learn of your steadfast love throughout all generations.
Open our hearts. We may learn from our biblical heritage how to manifest your love.
You may be seated. God, our Creator, in the garden you formed our first parents and found them good. At first, in their innocence, they trusted you and helped each other, but they sinned and fell short of your purposes for them. Forgive us our sins and give us grace to trust you in the goodness of your creation and your design. You called Sarah and Abraham to go out from their homeland and begin a new nation in covenant with you. In their old age, you gave them a child whose name meant laughter. In our homes, may we live with trust and courage, their humor, and their sense of mission. Increase our faith and give us grace to answer your call. You strengthened Ruth and Naomi in the face of grief and bitterness to remain loyal to each other and to journey to new life. Encourage us and give us grace to support each other. When you came to earth, incarnate God, you had no place to lay your head. God of the stable, bless the homeless and bring them to a place of shelter. Keep us aware and give us grace to be family to others. Rejoicing Savior, you sanctified marriage by your presence at Cana in Galilee. You restored life and health and balance in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Be a holy guest within our homes, filling our ordinary days with newness of life and mutual joy. Grant us grace to recognize you, the Christ, among us, and to be open to your miracles of change. Suffering God, from the cross you cared for your loved ones, saying to Mary, woman, behold your son, and to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his home. Bless all families and enable them to form new bonds of love. Comfort us in our brokenness and give us grace to claim our relationship as your children. Life-giving Spirit, you came in power to form and guide the church, a family with varied gifts and graces. Grant that church and home may model for each other the nurturing of individuals and the growth of community. We recognize the difficulty of forming family with those who are different from ourselves and with those who are like ourselves. We confess our failure to love and grow, our impatience for others to change, and our blindness to one another's needs. Yet we rejoice that you have given us each other, and we dedicate ourselves to mutual support and love, trusting not in our own strength, but in your strong compassion. Bless and guide us, Triune God, and enable us to support and love each other. Please stand.
Can I have the ushers come forward, please? Please join me as we sing hymn 817. First, for the prayers of the people, I would like to give thanks and prayers to our mothers today. The memorial service for Reverend Keith Hark was held on Friday. Please be in prayer for his wife, Maggie Wellert, and for the Westside Moravian Church at this time of transition and mourning. We also pray for Ava Winner, the 10-year-old, who is starting chemo for her brain tumor. We pray for all the victims and those injured in the school shootings in Colorado and everywhere. Let us also give thanks to God for helping us start a new ministry, Food on the Fly, and for equipping us with many passionate volunteers. And also, we would like to bless all the mothers who gave up their children for adoption. Please help us to remember everyone on this prayer list, and if anyone else has any prayers, we'll give a moment of silence for that as well. Our first scripture is from Acts 9, 36 through 43, found on page 778. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which then translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in the upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. And then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. Thus many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time and with a tanner named Simon. Our next scripture is from Revelation 7, chapters 9 through 17 on 871. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders, and the four living creatures, they fell down on their faces before the God and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be our God forever and ever. Amen." And then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And then he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, and never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes."
Our gospel lesson this morning is from John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. That should be found on page 760 of your pew Bible. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else. No one can snatch it out of my Father's hand. The Father and I are one." We thank God for his word for us today. Amen. The children to come forward.
Until the sun run to your mom, right? Or if something happened, if you got hurt, would you cry, "Mommy," right? Yeah, we would do something like that. Well, when we are scared, we tend to run to our moms, but we can also run to God because we know we're promised that God is going to protect us. That's what Jesus said, that God will always be there to protect us, right? So let's remember that. Let's have a word there. Can you repeat that to me? Dear God, thank you for always being there and protecting us. Help me recognize your name. Amen. Thank you.
I wasn't sure how that was going to work out. I took a risk. Took a risk. Like I said, some of us are a little more mature in our years, right? But let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Lord and God, we come to hear your word, a divine word, and we ask you help us discern that word as it makes its way through all of the human words spoken, so we might take that word of comfort, hope, or challenge, especially comfort today, and apply it to our lives so we live more fully for you. In Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh, we do pray. Amen. Now, when I was growing up, there were reruns going on, so it's a little bit older than that, but many of you might remember this. Anybody remember Henry Aldridge, right? I would turn the TV on Saturday mornings and watch black and white versions of that old. Henry knew, "Coming, Mother," right? We all know those things. And like I said to the kids, when someone calls our name out, full name, William Allen Render Connect or whatever, you know, we either were in trouble or something. Something was up, right? We knew that. So I hope that you can recognize that God doesn't always do that to us, fortunately. That we have an opportunity to be different people, right? I mentioned the show, you know, This Is Your Life. And, you know, are there people's voices that we tend to remember more than others in life? Oh, I could remember that voice. I remember my Grandma Watson sitting in a swing on the front porch out in California, and she'd be looking at something funny going on either with the kids or the animals, and she'd go, "Oh, God, mother." And it's just one of those sounds in my brain that is instilled, you know. And it was just really powerful, right? You think you could recognize the voices of some long-lost loved ones if you hadn't seen them for a while, or maybe if they've deceased? Yes. They're ingrained, they're imprinted into our minds, right? In fact, you know, they've done a lot of studies that even children in their wombs can recognize their parents' voices, you know, when they are birth, after birth. They can recognize and respond to that, right? Because they've gotten so used to them, right? It's an amazing world that we live in, where a voice can do so much for us, right? There's always kind of fun, you know. I remember one of the funniest bits when I was growing up was a person that had lost favor with a lot of people, and that was Bill Cosby, right? He didn't make us laugh, right? And one of the funniest bits about a name, and I think would we react the same way, is when God, he does a little bit about God calling Noah, right? Noah. Huh? Who's that? Noah. What? It's the Lord. Right. You know, he go on. I want you to build me an ark. Right. What's an ark? You know. And it goes on. So when God calls us, would we be like Bill Cosby's Noah and go, "Wait a minute, who's there?" Would we really recognize that God is really calling us, right? Well, this morning in our gospel, the Gospel of John, it emphasizes what today is. How many know that this is referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday? This is Good Shepherd Sunday in the church, right? You know, we have all these names for different Sundays. And in a three-year cycle, each of the lessons for this Sunday comes from the Gospel of John. And it starts with John chapter 10, verse 1, and the first cycle is 1 through 10. And then the second cycle, the next year, which is called cycle B, quote unquote, is John 10, 11 through 18. Right? And today is the cycle C, and it's still about the Good Shepherd, but we have a little bit different. There, he has moved. Now there's a little chunk between cycle B and C that's missing. And that is the passage that says this. Right after Jesus goes, I am the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd, right? He goes on that part of the discourse of the Good Shepherd. He says, there was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon. He is mad. Why listen to him? Another said, these are not the sayings of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So there was some argumentation going on in the Jews, and they weren't sure what's going on. And at the beginning of the passage for today, it says that Jesus has moved to the portico of the temple. And it's for protection. Now, what kind of protection do you think that is? You know, we don't know. It's protection from the Jews because they're arguing and they don't know whether he's going to come at them. Hey, it says it was winter. Who knows what winter's like over there? Maybe it started to snow or something like that, or bad breeze or ice storm, right? Do they feel safer from the Jewish leaders by being on the porch of the temple, right? When we're outside and we hear that name called, hey, come on, you know, and it's raining or storming, we come in and we go onto the porch, right? Jesus goes on in this part of the Good Shepherd Discourse to say that he and the Father are one. Now that would be very troubling for the Jews. He's already got them arguing with each other and kind of upset with him. And now he comes right out and he says it again. The Father and I are one. How dare you claim to be God, right? The Jews would not have liked that. So it's kind of like putting another nail in this cross, right, for him to say something like that. But Jesus is assuring the people of God's protection in the face of any enemies. Jesus is facing his enemies right there, and he talks about, I know my voice and I protect them, and they come to me and they'll follow me because they hear my voice and they know they can find protection. And I will not let any of them go. I will not let any of them be harmed by any of the enemies because God is stronger than any of the enemies that we have. And as children, like I said, when we get scared, what do? We tend to run to our mothers and fathers, right? We tend to go behind that, knowing that they'll protect us from anything, right? You know you will never be let go by the one who loves you and calls your name, right? And that's who God is for us. Well, Jesus has already called people by name and changed their lives. Some of you might remember the widow of Nain's son. And he came and touched the bier, and the bier stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the widow's son stood up and was alive again. He goes to a paralytic man, and he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. And the man got up and went home. He also calls 10 lepers. And now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, get up, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. And then Jesus goes to the home of Lazarus. He gets a message that his really good friend Lazarus has died. So once more he is deeply moved and he came to the tomb. And it was a cave with a stone laid in the entrance. Take away the stone, Jesus said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. And then Jesus said,
Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you always have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, y'all, take off the grave clothes and let him go. We have Jesus calling people's names, calling them to arise and go, and telling, reminding them that their faith and their understanding, their belief in God as Father has made them well and made, have brought change into their lives. We discover Peter in Acts moving through the countryside and finding out because of his belief in God and using Jesus' name, he is able to heal people as well. People, Peter has just healed a man in a place called Lydda, right? And it says, now Peter went here and there among them all. He came also to the saints that lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. And immediately he rose, and all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him. And they turned to the Lord. Now there was a place called Joppa that was nearby, and obviously the news spread like wildfire, right? And so we had heard that. So now we hear our passage for today. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity, and at that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with a request. Please come to us without delay. So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to a room upstairs, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. And Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, Tabitha, get up. Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. The word Peter uses is the same word that Jesus uses. And it's not just get up or arise. It's the Greek anastathe, right? Anastathe. It's a command, not a request. Jesus nor Peter begged, hey, why don't you get up? Would you please get up? Would you please just wake up? No, he says, get up and arise. It's a command. It isn't a choice. And it's kind of a command that includes a whole sense of awareness. It's like, be woke, be awake, right? These days, there's a phrase going around that says, stay woke. Have you heard that phrase? Stay woke, right? Beware of the stuff going on around you and do something about it. So it includes not just getting up, but it includes action. We've got to be aware and to do something. Our lives have been changed by Christ, and we need to do something to follow along. Right? Because that's how we stay is part of the Father's house and what it's all about. How many have pretty noisy homes if you have kids? Your kids are pretty noisy, right? Honey is a noisy at home. I'm kind of like the kid, right? She's always trying to tell me, turn down the radio, right? Or turn down the TV, or mute if they're commercials, right? Commercials, that's one thing. Now I'm embarrassing you. It's not too bad when I'm embarrassing. I'm embarrassing myself, right? So mute, because we have a noisy. You know, we're going to get to heaven, and, you know, we have that image of people floating on clouds and quietly playing harps, and, oh, you know what? Heaven's noisy. Have you read Revelation? Right? Yeah, demonstrate that. What was that first phrase it read at the beginning of the worship? Right? You remember that? So, I'm going to have a contest. I would like this side to read that first phrase really loud. Because there's also another phrase that's read. Right? And the other phrase that's said at the same time in this scene is one that you guys are going to have to compete with me. You guys repeat that repeat that phrase that you said at the beginning of worship, right? Standing before the throne, right? And I'm going to do what it says here. It says that there were others that were singing, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom. All right, so you guys have to out-shout me because I'm going to try to out-sing you. All right, so on the count of three, one, two, ready, go. Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and life and God forever and ever. Come on. Is that pretty noisy? Right? Sometimes Nancy goes, and if you hear me in, you know, one-to-one conversation, I keep them, I can hear you, speak up, right? But I use my large group voice, and if I'm in a field with 250 or 300 people, you know, they can actually hear me, right? So that's what heaven's like. It's noisy, it's raucous, it's a cacophony. All people together saying all kinds of wild and crazy things. And they're hearing God there. They're hearing God, but they're noisy, and yet they can hear God, and they can feel the protection. And Jesus is saying in that scene that he is the good shepherd now. He's moved from being the sacrificial lamb to the good shepherd, and he is going to take care of the sheep. Everyone will be protected. No one will be lost. No one will be let go. Everyone is around. Because remember, what does it say? The multitude that no one could count. We're all going to be there. We're all going to be. It doesn't matter what our background is, what our upbringing was, what the color of our skin, or what our disabilities are, anything. It doesn't matter. We're all going to be there shouting these wonderful things to God. Can you imagine sitting there shouting to God and singing to God? That can be kind of wild, isn't it? So practice that. Get your voices ready, right? And ready to do that and be part of that cacophony of heaven, right? All varieties. But you know what? Jesus now says, yes, I am the good shepherd who lays his down his life to the sheep, and my sheep know my voice. And I follow them and they hear me and they follow me. Right? Guess what Jesus says for us now? He says, y'all are the good shepherds. You sum this out. Y'all are from the good shepherd, right? It's everyone. Everyone is the good shepherd now. You need to go out and protect people. You need to call names so that people can hear God's voice. You need to be the good shepherds and help others to hear God. You need to say that word, arise, anesthete, right? Anesthete. You need to arise and go out and do something about it, right? So, we are now good shepherds. So, find your staff, get your tunic on, and figure out who your sheep are. Because we have a job to do. We have a job to do to help people hear God's voice in life and to feel protected and loved and that there's always a home for them. Let us pray. Gracious Lord and God, you give us a great calling to arise, not to be anesthetized, but to be anesthete. Arise. Go out and do something about our belief. Believe in you. Hear your name calling us. For protection, but also calling us to action. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Good Shepherd. Amen.
And as we get ready for our love feast and celebration of Mother's Day or the Christian home, let's join in singing our first hymn, I Love to Tell the Story, which is number 625. In our book of worship. invite you to share in a love feast, a tradition that goes back to about 1727. It was following a communion service at the Berthelsdorf Lutheran Church, where those that were called Moravian gathered. And after a period of time when there was a lot of unrest in Herrnhut, and after a lot of pastoral counseling by Count Zinzendorf, the people felt the warming of the Spirit. They felt so infused by the Holy Spirit at the service that they didn't want to go home. They stayed afterward and talked. So it was a time of fellowship, and Zinzendorf sent up to his manor house for tea and buns, and that is the origin of our love feast. It's a time of fellowship, so don't sit and just look straight ahead. And you may talk, you may share with each other, you may reflect and talk and hear each other's name. Join in our grace.
Thank you.
Let's join in singing the hymn, As a Mother Holds Her Baby, which is number 659 in our book of worship. Let us go to be God's people and to share God's love as good shepherds. Amen.